I say this is an extraordinary moment, but for the first time in 200 years we're recognising what we owe to these men who actually fought in this decisive battle which gave Europe-wide, it was free of a total Europe-wide context for the next 100 years until 1914. It was a result of the Battle of Waterloo, extremely important moment, and we're paying tribute to them. There were essentially four rounds in this battle, and I'll describe them very, very briefly, I promise you. Four rounds, I think. But each round, the fortunes of either side swung to and fro. And so the issue was in doubt throughout this battle. And as Wellington himself described it, from minute to minute, it was a mighty close run, a damn close run thing. The first round was an extraordinary struggle for the chateau of Hougoumont, where the French threw in over the day something like 10,000 troops in an attempt to get hold of the chateau, which was a vital point on Wellington's line. And they failed. They got in once at the door. It was a moment when the thing swung towards the French, but then it swung back towards the British. It went on all day, and the French didn't manage to capture Hougoumont. The second round began in the early afternoon at 2 o'clock. When something like 18,000 French infantry started tramping up this really quite gentle slope. Nevertheless, it was muddy, it was full of rye, shoulder-height rye up to the upper part of the hill. We could hardly see through it, and they trudged up through this rye up to the top of the slope, and there in front of them they found the red coat lines in a line, each of the British muskets, able to bear on the French. And the French were mostly in column. The second and third ranks, yes, the first, second and third ranks could fire, but behind that they couldn't fire their muskets. And so the French, for a moment, swayed, and then they came on again. And of course, they massively outnumbered the British on top of this slope. And then the British, in a timely moment, sent in the heavy cavalry. And the heavy cavalry went in, and they destroyed that French infantry attack, pushed the French right the way back to where they'd come from, back to the guns. But then the heavy cavalry overreached themselves, and the French cavalry counterattacked, and the heavy British heavy cavalry were decimated. So the thing was swinging left and right after round two. Round three was the French cavalry attacks, the huge heavy cavalry of Napoleon, something like 8,000 of these horsemen riding in wave after wave at the British lines on top of this ridge. And it looked to one British soldier watching the cavalry approaching, it looked like the breaking of a wave in a stormy sea coming straight towards you. Imagine how horrific it must have been to face that French cavalry charge. And it went on for 2 hours. And each cavalry charge got weaker than the last one. Slowly but surely began to wear down the French. And Wellington and Napoleon, at this time, round about tea time, looked over to the east. And they saw men in black uniforms emerging from the woods. Napoleon said to his aide, who told him they looked like Grouchy's men coming to rescue us, Emperor. And the Emperor said, no, they're wearing black, they're not wearing blue, those are Prussians. The Prussians had come, as they promised to rescue Wellington and to help him win the battle. They now pushed into Napoleon's right flank. And so we then have the terrifying situation for Napoleon that he's been pushed on the right by the Prussians and the Wellington is holding his line to his front. But Napoleon now sends his men in and they capture a farm just in front of Wellington's line. Wellington was in crisis. His infantry had been pummeled by the cavalry for 2 hours. It was 6 o'clock in the evening and Marshal Ney, Napoleon's chief frontline commander, said to Napoleon, give me the troops so I can bash through that line. We can be in Brussels by dinner, as we promised this morning. But Napoleon said, I haven't got any troops left. Look at these Prussians. And he had to send more people to reinforce the soldiers who were trying to hold the Prussians off. But then he changed his mind an hour later, and he said, damn it, we're going to have one last throw. I'm going to put in the rest of the Imperial Guard. I've got 9 battalions left. I'm going to push them in and we're going to break Wellington's line before those damn Prussians come in on the right. And he sent the Imperial Guard up the hill towards Wellington's guardsmen too, guards were on the front line. And the Imperial Guard went in, terrifying, tall people, taller than me, great big pistachios. And they went straight for Wellington's line. And they too, when they had this huge musket fired at them, this great bombardment of musket fire, they paused and wavered, and then they too turned back and came down the hill. And the word went round the French army, La Garde Recul, the Guard, the Imperial Guard, undefeated before, is turning back. Wellington raised his hat and said, come on, in for a penny, in for a pound. And they rushed down the slope. The French were effectively routed. One Frenchman described how it was like standing in a stream, a torrent coming towards you, trying to hold on for dear life, but the torrent just swept you away. The French were utterly routed. It was a disaster. And Marshal Blücher and Wellington Blücher, whose Prussians had come to any time the aid of Wellington, shook hands in front of La Belle Alliance, the farm, and the middle of the French line. And I think that was the moment when all of us sort of been taught to realise that this was a victory, not just for Wellington, not just for the British, far from it. We're not celebrating here in Waterloo Station a victory for the British. We're celebrating a victory for the rest of Europe, lining up in coalition against this man who was trying to dominate the whole of Europe. A huge victory for Europe against a very rampant France. And we should celebrate and honour these men who fought that battle.